good enough.
We do that at the end. Yeah, we don't do that now.
Like, we're in studio.
But it's morning, and it's good, and
we're in studio.
And we're in studio.
Huh?
Wow, we're looking at each other.
This is a little uncomfortable.
How weird is that?
I'm going to look straight forward.
Well, it'll even out quickly.
I
have every faith.
I feel a little bit booming, though. I almost want to bring these down a little bit, but...
It's probably a good idea. They look hot.
Okay, say something.
I'm something.
Okay, say something.
Something in the way she moves attracts me like no other lover ever could.
I'm wishing we weren't in studio now. See, now I wish we were remote. Do you think... I think this is going to work. Let's judge it.
Okay. Well, that our listeners will do that.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about, judging.
Let's see. So, Justice Jackson has issued her first dissent today, apparently.
Okay.
She just got sworn in the other day.
So. All right.
But I haven't read what it is. It's just that's just the headline. So
read it. What is it?
Justice Jackson dissents in first vote as Supreme Court won't reinstate Biden's immigration policies. So we're on Trump's mean old, you know, stay in Mexico policies.
Hmm. Sounds nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Staying in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Thinking about it.
Did you read Anthony Bourdain's little commentary on?
Mexicans. That's so good.
So good.
Yeah.
Right?
Folks, if you haven't seen that, look it up. It should be easy to find. Anthony Bourdain, Mexicans. That should get you there.
I mean, you know, Anthony Bourdain, probably the preeminent travel journalist, you know, before his, you know.
Yeah.
And untimely suicide.
Right. Well, right. And so, people that... he's a foodie, too.
All Anthony Bourdain did was travel the world eating the very best food, meeting the best people, and he committed suicide.
Like, yeah,
what,
right,
like
right.
What possible chance do any of us have?
Right.
I mean, that's what I was thinking when it happened. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. Every time a rock musician or somebody commits suicide, I'm like, depression doesn't
work. You had it all.
Depression doesn't work that way, though.
Or you had a lot of it. That's absolutely true.
I mean, that's what we learn.
It's this beautiful view.
Hmm. You know, El Cajon means the box.
Yes.
Yeah. So you can kind of see it.
Which I always thought was La Caja, but...
Well, there's a lot of different dialects.
Boxes. A lot of different boxes.
A lot of different boxes.
Have you ever been to the Container Store?
I've not, but that sounds interesting.
Boxes. That's all they got.
All kinds of boxes.
All kinds, yeah. But, yeah.
First part of the show brought to you by the Container Store. That's what we need, more boxes.
That's what I'm saying. As a matter of fact, I need a box right now for my theremin.
You're shipping your theremin?
No. I keep it in a suitcase. That thing fell apart.
The suitcase?
At the seams, yeah. And now I need something a little more sturdy, I guess.
Well, you should have, geez, you really missed out. Amazon Prime Day.
It was
60%, 75% off luggage.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I missed it, though.
You missed it.
Thank you.
Well, I didn't know you were in the market for... luggage.
You shouldn't have told me now, though.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, you'll be ready next year.
Okay. I'm going to need one before then. We got a gig coming up, so.
What about Goodwill? Find like an old school.
Okay, so that's where that last one that just fell apart.
It was like a hard-sided suitcase?
It wasn't that hard, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it was. You know, it's one of those ones that's actually cardboard that's covered with some sort of cloth thing.
Well, sure, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, well, that was a hard show.
It was a good idea, suitcase. But it fell apart. Because actually, my original one was that.
Everything is falling apart.
It lasted for years. Yeah, everything's falling apart.
Everything is falling apart. I myself physically.
What's that called? Things fall apart. What's that?
Planned obsolescence?
No, that's not the word I'm thinking. There's one word.
Entropy?
Yes, that's it. thank you. These mushrooms are supposed to, you know.
Yeah, they're supposed to
help me with this.
Well, maybe that is helping you. Maybe you didn't need to have entropy right at your fingertips. Maybe the mushrooms are telling you something. Don't worry about the word entropy. You know what I mean? You focus on other stuff.
Yeah, right. And really, how important is it? So
I can't believe you drove here.
Well, me either. Oh, no. It's microdosing.
All right, well, whatever. I mean, I can't believe you were driven here. Thank you, Uber.
Yeah, right. Or whoever. No, it's, you don't feel it.
Well, you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, it's supposed to change the way you fire.
Yeah, basically. Exactly. Right. And that is what's happening.
Mescaline, too. Supposedly you can microdose.
All right.
Sure. Did you make the liquid and then you just kind of take a little nip?
Well, okay, that was peyote, though, so that's not necessary. Yeah, that's different.
I like the microdose, like, reality a little bit.
Especially now. I'm afraid of Republicans.
We're in a big mess here, and I think AI, I agree, you know, Elon Musk says a lot of shit, but I kind of do agree with AI is more dangerous than nukes.
Yeah.
And I think it's, and I don't think it's, we're thinking the danger is going to come in the means, the way of an assault, some attack, like a Terminator style, like a cinema style.
Yeah, well, that's what I need my AR-15 for.
But my point is, we feel like, humans feel like, we're conned into this idea that it's going to be like a switch that flips, and then all of a sudden, all these machines we depended on are going to attack us. It's already, the war has started a long time ago.
That's absolutely true. And right now, the winner of the cyber war is Russia. There's a lot of evidence that that's how we got Trump.
Well, it started with the monetizing of it was the very first step, because you can't have corruption until you have cash flow. Okay, you need money. Moving.
Well, it's kind of the purpose.
That's the purpose. But you can't just, with no money moving, there's no corruption, because there's not really, you know what I mean? The profit margin isn't there. So first you monetize the experience. Now that now it can be weaponized against us. And that's exactly what has happened in a couple of election cycles now.
Sure. And the AI was weaponized initially for a commercial purpose.
To sell us things.
Sell us things that we don't need, especially.
It's supposed to help you find things that you're looking for, and it does a really good job of doing that, and it can also suggest things to you.
Based on your
yes.
every word and thought.
Every word and thought.
Apparently.
If you don't believe it's true, look up Gas Grill on Amazon, flip through a few pages, and then shut your computer, and then just come back in a couple days.
Yeah, right.
And see what your experience looks like. You know, it's a weapon.
There's an excellent Frontline documentary on In the Age of AI, it's called, and it's kind of chapter and verse, only we've moved, it was a couple of years ago, and we've moved a little further down that road. So
okay, so initially monetized and then weaponized to sell us things, right? And then from that, major political disruption
right.
from that. So that's one thing it's brought us.
Exactly.
Okay. We all suspected our lives were shit before the internet. It's not a new thought. Like, I suck. My life sucks. Everyone has it better than me. I'm doomed. Those are normal, rational thoughts as a person.
I guess. I don't recall that.
You know, they sneak in.
Okay.
Those thoughts sneak in. But with social media, it has convinced all of us that our lives are shit. Not you. You're on mushrooms. But I'm saying other people. And it's convinced them that the grass is greener. And, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and I understand. You know, dissatisfaction. Other people's lives look better than mine. I sort of get that.
And even beyond, we're, you know, like we went back convincing us that our opinions mattered. So, you know, in terms of, I mean, it's a tough thing. It's very disruptive. It can be very disruptive to the people who got disrupted. You know what I mean?
I saw a video, you can look it up on YouTube too, of these Russian oligarchs when Trump was declared the winner, you know, the night of the election, and they, you know, the newscasters decided for Trump. These Russian oligarchs are high-fiving each other, and they're clinking their vodka bottles together, and they're just, we did it! We did it! You know?
Kind of reminds you of that footage when they were swearing in LBJ. There's some glances in the room, like, people look, a couple of knowing glances between people.
What's that about?
What is that about? One of them, if you pull up the photo, like, one of them, the guy in the back who's giving a look to this other guy, like, I mean, it's the creepiest fucking sleaziest look of all.
We did it.
It looked like a guy going, hey, the vault's open. That's what it looked. That was the look. No, not we didn't. We did it. We're gonna do it. It's all bets are off. That's an iconic photograph.
What is it?
LBJ swear him.
LBJ swear.
Yeah.
Sworn in blood. What the?
Okay, well, there's a little of that hit image. So they're turning the frogs gay. Like, wait, what?
Oh, I don't know.
No, pull it up. You gotta pull it up. Right here, let me do it.
Taking oath. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, not a video. My God in heaven.
Okay, so I can pause it and.
Here it is right here. Like, why did that take me 1 second? Watch. Where is he?
Let me go backwards then.
No, this isn't the right one.
Well, I see all these people in the room here.
Oh, yeah, here it is. Oh, no. Here it is. Oh, it is LBJ. This guy, LBJ turns to this guy, and the guy's winking, catches him winking, this guy.
Talk about the cat that ate the canary.
Everybody else looks pretty solemn. This guy is definitely smirking, and Jackie O's right there. Like, it's the worst moment to be, even if it's innocuous.
Oh, she's still got the pink...
This photograph's a disaster. This is worse than 9/11, this photograph.
So this guy.
I'm not even going to look who that is. I don't, it's not, it's a whole other thing.
Right. I mean, you know, people, cat, once again. And that's what I think.
I'm saying you shouldn't be afraid of, it's not Republicans. That's the Kool-Aid. That's the Kool-Aid.
Well, okay, so, and it's not all Republicans, to be sure.
I think it's every one of us.
If you've seen Liz and
Well, not you, because you're on mushrooms, but regular people.
I'm not saying. On mushrooms.
Well, you're microdosing.
It's a micro thing, yeah. But, no, the...
That's a rooster.
Stop me. What is that?
That's a rooster. Yeah.
I mean, I can barely hear it through these headphones, but...
It picked it up.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a system here.
Through the system, yeah.
Yeah, what a system.
But see, well, that might be the problem with... This is just a beautiful view.
With what? Taking mushrooms? You're going to hear more roosters?
My state of mind here.
Just subjected to constant roosters from all over the place. I don't even know where they are.
I like roosters, though.
It's judging, though. It's not Republicans. I'm telling you. It's been in the same way they weaponized it to sell us stuff and then do the thing. It's our judgment of each other.
The Republican Party.
Our judgment of each other has been weaponized against us. We don't see it.
The Republican Party is actively trying to dismantle democracy. They're passing laws in state legislatures and state houses across the country to make... the decisions about who won their election in that state to people that will be most likely to, you know, decide it their way.
Why do you have to ruin everything I'm trying to do?
I don't know.
Because of the mushrooms. I'm trying to take this in a thing. Yeah, it's, yeah.
Oh, no. No, no. No, no, no.
I'm trying to bring this full circle back to the court.
The court, yeah.
You know, but I'm saying we were always...
So the court is a symptom of Russians' attack on democracy.
Okay, the grass is greener, is always greener on the other side of the fence, okay? The grass it's not the grass is greener, it's always greener on the other side of the fence. What does that mean to you, that phrase? That's a pre-internet. That's before the internet existed.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
That's, you see what the good things that other people have, you tend not to see the bad things.
Sure. That's a good point. Yeah. But what else happens in that? There's an exchange there, because not only when you're making that judgment about the other side of the fence, you're making a judgment about your side of the fence as well.
Yeah.
So what's that judgment?
It's less green on that side.
You're all jacked up. Your shit's all jacked up.
Yeah, right?
Right?
Yeah, right.
And that's before the internet existed. Right? And it was a warning. That becomes a parable because it's obvious, and it's obvious over a range of the human condition. That's something, an affliction that we have as humans.
Yeah, absolutely right. True.
What do you look at your worm that you dug out of the ground? Is that's better than the worm I got?
Fatter than mine.
It seems fatter than the worm. It seems like you didn't have to work as hard to get it either.
But of course, you didn't see what they had to do to get that worm.
But you're holding a worm. You got a worm, too.
Yeah, it's not a worm, yeah.
It's a worm. I mean, we're talking about degrees of difference between the fatness of these worms.
And you didn't see he had to work harder, dig deeper.
And you don't even know how that worm, maybe it's going to be a bad worm for him.
Yeah.
You don't always get a good one.
Yeah, right. You know,
sometimes they make you sick.
Is that right?
I have no idea.
I would guess that's true.
Well, we stopped eating them and we started eating something else, so they weren't that great.
Oh, I think we went from worms to grubs, but...
Grub's a worm.
Sure. I'm going with that.
A grub's a giant maggot.
Right? Pretty much. A maggot is a grub.
Okay. Stop. Mushrooms are... Okay. I feel like I'm having to manage these mushrooms. No, but the grass is always green. It's always greener on the other side of the fence.
Absolutely.
So no matter what...
A condition of...
Right. So no matter what, you're going to be looking over the fence and you're going to be thinking, you know, what's the deal? Right?
Okay.
Okay, so now throw social media into it. Now, I mean, this was we got a phrase. Of all human history, we ended up with a phrase out of it, right? Maybe every language has that idea.
Grass is always greener.
Grass is always greener.
Sure.
I don't hear that phrase anymore. It seems like...
That has disappeared from...
It seems like we're looking
at... The human psyche?
No, I think social media is allowing us to peer over a lot more fences than we were able to before.
Okay.
And I think that's,
I'm sure, true.
We've all went insane from the idea, is what I'm saying. It's no longer rational.
You know, that's something that I've tried to look for in my historical research. Is there a similar period of disassociation, right, you know, amongst the populace? I'm not sure that I can find it. This polarity, this rejection of what seems like reality to me,
right,
which I'm sure is similar to them.
Could you say the advent of mass radio or mass television, like those moments? Could those be...
The speeding up of information?
Well, that and just doing things differently, whereas from the moment when there were no TVs to the moment when TVs were prevalent... Society changed. Like a lot of us stopped going out and meeting each other. A huge portion of us became more isolated, like as a group, I'm saying.
Physically
isolated.
Yeah.
That was different. A little. But maybe this is even more of a... I'm just saying, like, if you smoke crack, right?
Okay.
You get really high and whatever. And then, you know, if you go a long time in between smoking it again, then you kind of do that again. But if you start smoking it every day,
okay,
and then three times a day, and then you're doing that for a period,
mm-hmm,
you go insane from it.
Okay.
Right. So maybe it's like that. Social media, I'm saying.
Okay, so we're trying to find the psychological underpinning of the malaise that we find ourselves in as a society. Right. And I'm not sure.
But it's an oversaturation. It's difficult to quantify it or measure it because it's so prevalent.
I could certainly feature that and think that's a possibility. Mm-hmm. I don't know, though. And why and how isn't as important, I think, as what do we do now? Where do we go from here?
I don't. Well, we've done it. I mean, we're in the stream at this point. I don't think we're moving with the current of what's happening. It's not going anywhere. Do you know what I mean? We still have televisions. Do you know what I mean? No one's really watching their TVs anymore.
No.
Everything is already, but we're still buying TVs and we have TVs in our homes.
Because you can hook them up to your computer.
We're acclimated to buying TVs and having TVs. We all grew up with TVs.
Oh, there's an interesting thought.
Right. So we're still clinging on to it. It's still statusy. It's still whatever. But we're not watching TV anymore.
I watch Criterion on my TV, but from my laptop. It's hooked up to my TV.
But if you lost your TV, you wouldn't necessarily be in a...
I could still watch Criterion on my laptop.
You wouldn't be getting another TV like a junkie, is what I'm saying. You would come upon another TV. You wouldn't immediately go shop for a TV and replace the TV.
I don't know.
People don't watch TV.
But that point is well taken.
I mean, we can see that with the television, and the Nielsen company can show us that.
Yeah, I mean, what TV show is not available on the internet somehow? Streaming, YouTube, whatever. I mean, NBC is on YouTube. So there.
It's the phone. I mean, for the younger people, it's the phone. So it's definitely not the TV.
Yeah, and I haven't moved fully to the little screen myself yet.
See, we're all segmented in weird little groups based on when internet became prevalent to what level. You see what I'm saying?
I think that's absolutely true.
If you're born before 19... I'm trying to figure out the exact year. If you're born previous to 1985, if you're born, let's say if you're born between 75 and
90.
65, there's a group there that got through college without computers.
Oh, yeah.
And they're the last, because that really is the moment. If you can get all the way through school without being computer dominated. When I was leaving college, there was no more typing, and that was becoming word processing.
Sure.
So that I had computers in college but no internet. Uh-huh. So my group was really the last ones to go through, because the next kids that came through had internet in college, and it was everywhere. It wasn't super prevalent, but it existed.
In the 90s, there was only one reason I got a computer.
Right.
And it's because I was working at a magazine, and it was desktop publishing.
Desktop publishing.
So there was no way to do it without
a
computer. And so
typewriters were going away.
But most of my contemporaries who were not doing something like that avoided the computer for a few more years.
Kept their typewriter going.
Well, they weren't doing that either. But so I at least had, you know, that leg up on computing. And so it's been an interesting ride, that's for sure.
Those kids, the kids that came after, so the kids that were born in 1980, let's say, after 1980.
All right. So I'm working at the magazine, and my son Cosmo, born in 1990, he's like four now.
Right.
And he's playing with the computer.
Right.
Three. He's one of his favorite was Freak Show by The Residents.
Okay.
They put out a video game, sort of, I guess you'd call it that.
Right.
And he just loved that thing. He spent so much time on it. But so yes, he from his earliest, you know, learning, cognition, he's computing.
Right.
So yeah, that's got to do something different to your brain, right?
Right.
So.
So it seems like the kids, the transition kids, are people that are age 40 and let's say between 40 and 50 right now, aged.
Yeah.
Those are the kids that kind of didn't have it in the same full way, but kind of got into it early, but not so early, but we're not freaked out by it.
Right.
But after that, kids that are under the age of 40, those kids are all internet kids. Everybody under the age of 40, I would say. So maybe they're different. They seem to be more progressive as a group, right? Under the age of 40 or no?
I think so.
Right? It's, I mean, it's spectrum, but I mean, as you get older, most of the racist older people. I mean, real hardcore bigots and dutter are all much older, right?
I hope.
Well, I mean, the younger people are doing it in a fashion. They've latched on to that. The society has decided the other way.
It seems like, yeah, they're doing it differently.
They're doing it differently. More militant, certainly, but there's much less of them, I think, ultimately.
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. They're being out-peopled. There's less of them. It's not going to... It'll always be a little fringe thing moving forward. White supremacists cannot gain power, is what I'm saying. They might have had it before. Not in name.
Well,
but
that's a very hopeful statement.
I don't think there's enough.
Particularly... Yeah, they are a minority.
Right.
However... So were the German Nazis.
Well, you need a strong group to go along with it.
They never had more than like 33% of the vote, something like that. Right. Yeah.
But a bunch of people went along with it.
Right? And then the brown shirts. But we've got Proud Boys, so...
Yeah, but there's not Proud Boys running around harassing people. That's not happening. Do you know what I mean? They're picking their moments. They're in the shadows. The brown shirts were going into cafes and... snatching people in broad daylight.
Right, right, right.
That's
right.
Not happening.
Not yet.
November.
That's going to be another bellwether. That will be another bellwether on just where we're at as a nation. And the issues, of course, Roe v. Wade. The issues are...
What's so great about social media? Like, why are you in service to the AI? Is that the deal here?
No, not at all.
Are you team human or team computer?
Well, the AI is both. It's like fire. It's great and it's super dangerous.
Okay.
I mean, the kinds of things that the AI is learning through pattern recognition in diseases and, you know, I mean, the AI might solve cancer.
Right.
There's things that we're learning from about Parkinson's. With the AI, just any number of good things that the AI, through pattern recognition, is advancing the cause of humanity.
Okay, but you understand it's going to be used as a weapon by the corrupt among us.
Always.
To pilfer as much assets from everybody.
Right, the surveillance...
It's going to be used as a weapon...
And the surveillance is just scary. I mean,
I don't give
cameras
a shit.
On the street.
I don't give a shit about that.
Can identify a person by their gait.
I want them to know where I'm at. How about that?
Well, I mean, I'm not.
Hey, if I'm in the middle of somewhere and I clutch my chest and fall on the ground, it'd be nice to know there's a government drone watching me and can report back. Hey, he just took a dive.
Right.
Somebody.
And certainly, my attitude about everything is available for all to see.
Nobody gives a shit. Like, the identity theft thing is not a real... It's not real.
I'm not worried about identity theft.
I mean, you know how much money has exchanged hands over identity theft, protecting from, insuring against? It's a huge racket.
But ideology... we're both pretty progressive. Ultra-liberal, you might say.
Would you say that?
There's nuance there that is not... covered by that phrase, to be sure, but yeah, we're definitely on the left side of things, I think. And there are righties that can't abide that because if you're the head of, you know, a multi-billion dollar corporation, and you don't want government regulation, you don't want higher taxes, you don't want all these things that would actually, you know, be fair and good for the country as a whole, then you want to attack those kinds of ideologies. Now, I think you're right. They're not going to come and into the house and you know, yank us out and, you know, take us to a sports stadium somewhere and, you know, hold thousands of us I don't think that works really well for the right, for the fascists. But they've got other ways to sideline. Oh, well, look at the Supreme Court.
Right.
And the Supreme Court is far to the right of the American public.
Right.
How'd that happen?
Seems like that shouldn't be possible.
Right. But
how has it not happened up to this point? Why hasn't it happened before?
That's actually a good question, and I think maybe it has.
Right.
I mean, we had a Supreme Court that said a black man cannot be a citizen because he's black.
So that when was that?
1850. Dred Scott. So we had a Supreme Court that decided that.
And the general public did not feel that way at that moment.
I would say more Americans did not feel that way.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So that's a moment.
Yeah.
Right.
But
so do you?
A lot of people did feel like that in those days too.
Do you have these instances where the society, the social order of the society, progresses faster than a few seats with unlimited forever term limits? I'm saying those are all older. Generally, that produces an older judge over time.
Right. That's true.
More and more older judges. So the society progresses, right? Gay marriage, right? Equal rights, civil rights.
Well, that's not what we have here. The newest justices are the ones that are the farthest to the right.
So that's different, too.
You know, what, Amy Coney Barrett, she was a teenager, right?
Yeah, what is she, like 9?
Yeah. Sounds like it.
She's been in a courtroom.
Yeah.
A courthouse.
She is a judge. Let's, you know, she is a judge. She had more experience, for instance, than Clarence Thomas did when he was...
She's a judge in the way Elvis is a black belt. No, no.
I like that. Yeah, exactly. Well, like I say, Clarence Thomas had 1 year experience as a judge.
Right.
So... And he's the bastard on the court right now. He's got suggestions that no other Supreme Court justice would follow him on. He's 1-8.
What does that mean?
I think that's what we're worried about. Gay rights, homosexuality, according to Thomas, is on the chopping block. Contraceptives, on the chopping block. Gay marriage, on the chopping block. Mm-hmm. That's Thomas. I would say if somebody brought that up and he voted for that, all other 8 would be against, you know, overturning privacy issues on all those other things. So, but I am not sure of that at all. Mm-hmm. I could not say.
I'm telling you, I have a long thing here.
Stop bragging.
See?
Yeah, oh, how'd you know that? You read my mind.
It was the mushrooms.
No, I guess.
Hold on, I got the thing too. This has to go back in the fridge though. This is a major mistake here. But you?
What's that?
This.
I left it out.
Yeah, you left it out.
Yeah, I did.
Just say when.
I didn't want to presume, though, because that makes, you know, a pre out of you and me.
And Sume. Okay. I have to here.
Ah, this is good. Mmm.
Yeah.
Well, so, but...
It's a quality cup of coffee, huh?
So it was Republican dirty tricks that gave us this court, though. I'm afraid of Republicans. And once again, not all of them. There's some Republicans who have not lost.
Well, it sounds like you don't need to be afraid of it anymore because it happened.
It happened. Well, now I'm really afraid of it because now they got power.
Well, now we can fix it.
I like the hope in that statement.
You have to expand the court, right?
4? That would give us 13.
Though. Okay, I don't think... Here's my personal opinion. I don't think a person... should judge another person, one person judging one person. That shouldn't happen.
Pretty much, yeah.
That shouldn't happen, and it should definitely not be part of any state apparatus. I think judging an individual should be done by quorum.
Oh, really?
And I think you want, because you want...
Well, that's the idea of jury.
But I don't want a jury of regular people. Forget the jury system. Get rid of that.
That hasn't really worked that
well. I want a dozen judges, people that are qualified to judge. That's what I... And across a spectrum of society as well.
15 judges. I like that.
I like 15.
I like 15 too.
I kind of feel like if there's 15, if I'm standing there and there's 15 people that are in judgment of me, I'm gonna take my chances.
Right? And it's less likely that any one ideology will get hold of the court like it does right now.
I mean, one person judging one person, yeah. It doesn't make any, it makes no sense.
Well, that was more than apparent when in, all right. So we've talked about this before. I've been through the justice system, and it was really important to the outcome of my case, which judge got it.
Right.
Which judge we were going to go before.
Right.
And it seemed like that justice should be a little more...
It shouldn't really matter,
right? In the middle somewhere, you know, that... Right.
If the book is the deal, then it shouldn't matter who's... Right? That seems weird.
And so, you know, then politics got... And other people were seeing this,
but
too.
Did you get the right judge? You didn't get the best one.
Her name was Keep.
Keep? Right.
And they kept me.
They kept me. I see. That's tough.
My lawyer said, could be worse.
It's like, Judge Butcher. It's like, oh, great.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So, and they tried to fix that, too. The politicians tried to fix that. It was called sentencing guidelines in the 80s.
Yeah, here's your range of, you know. If found guilty, it's between X and X.
Right. 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 And what that did was increase prison sentences exponentially.
Sure.
So when politics gets into jurisprudence, it almost never works out really well.
Right.
I mean, we've got like the law of the sea. That doesn't really change that much over time.
You're talking about maritime law?
Maritime law, yes.
Can't believe you said maritime law. That's the mushroom. I'm telling you, that's Robert Anton Wilson.
Okay,
Ruining the show. You killed us. You just killed us.
Law of the sea, but... So
why
crime,
are
crime yeah. though? You're saying can't be soft on crime, and
right.
So and so you got this. We got the largest. We still have the largest prison population in the world.
Well, there's a lot of people that are in prison that shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's start with that.
Yeah, for several different reasons. One, it's not helping the society as a whole to be safer. Right. It's not helping public.
It's grotesquely expensive.
Right.
It's
actually doing. It's breaking up families. It's
destroyed whole communities.
Prison is criminal college.
Okay, but more often than not, the person that comes out of prison is a broken person. They're not a person. They're not a person that's a super criminal.
Whatever.
You know what I mean?
Connections, friendship connections.
I'm just saying.
Your career. It's gone.
There's a lot of negative things about prisons, but the idea that it's a criminal college is a very, I don't think that's a real problem with prisons. Certainly it does happen.
Well, you destroy a person's life, you put them in with a bunch of people who have done all variety of crime, and you learn about that stuff in there, believe me, I know. And then you come out and you try to make your way in the world. And, you know, your support base is gone. Your most recent support base are criminals. That's criminal college.
I just don't like the term, like this idea of ever sitting six guys sitting around a bullpen. No, here's how you do a burglary. It's not like that.
Not exactly.
Hey,
no.
We're meeting in the courtyard by the weights for robbery 2.4 class, where we're going to learn how to get in through ductwork. You know what I mean?
There's a little bit of that going on. I mean, it's stories. It's stories that, you know, prisoner swap.
The biggest problem with prison is the human degradation that takes place. And the fact that...
That's absolutely true.
And the fact that if on the front side you got a society that tells somebody we don't give a fuck about you, die, right? Then you commit a crime and then they're like, hey, you owe because you... You committed a crime against the society. You owe the society for what you did. The same society that told you to fuck off.
And you throw them into a situation where they're likely to be brutalized, either by guards, other prisoners. And so you get a brutal person coming out.
Okay, so prisons are much less violent than they were in the past. There's a lot less brutality. There's a lot more... Closed circuit television, there's a lot more, you know what I mean? lawsuits against prisons have increased. I mean, there's some minimal oversight that takes place. It's not exactly the same.
It's better than it was in the 80s.
It's definitely better than it was in the 80s, but it is still a horrible environment. Especially if you committed a victimless crime, for example.
Sure.
It makes no sense that you would brutalize a person in that situation with a victimless, Jesus Christ, let everybody out that's on a drug charge.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Pretty much.
Expunge. Release and expunge.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
That following them for their...
You are not a felon. We release you with an apology. Here is a check. Obviously, this is in no way compensating you for what you experienced, but nonetheless... Here's some starter money. You're not a felon. Here's job training. Here's what do you want to get into?
And there's some mental health issues that should not be put them in prison.
That's a great point, actually. You know, you don't want to go to work and do something right away. Here's some housing and some counseling and some, let's try to get you back. You know what I mean?
Well, that's at least an issue. An option that should be taken.
Gee, it sounds like we're describing the prison system in Norway.
That's absolutely true. They do have rehabilitation more as a goal in European
prison is college in Norway. Do you know what I mean? I saw the prison cell, a picture of a prison cell in Norway, and it was nicer than any apartment I had ever lived in. Do you know what I mean? Like it looked Art Deco. It looked nice, that room. Floor to ceiling window.
Sure. Know. Sure. You really... Ideally, you wouldn't put criminals in together. You would put them in with nuns or something, people who respect
They life. Have a little community. You do a serious crime in those Scandinavian countries, you know. There's a system. They look at it like you don't owe the society. The society owes you. You, for whatever reason, you got put in a position where you had to do this. Society has failed. So what we're going to do is rehabilitate you, give you a leg up going back out. There's a crime has been committed. You got to stay here. But, I mean, we understand it's not you. It's the system. The system did you wrong. It's a whole different perspective. It's not punitive. It's recuperative.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly
so their it. Recidivism is low. I mean, you know what I mean?
And it is. Much lower
than when they're releasing somebody, they're put in a position to succeed.
I think we're at about 50% recidivism. I mean,
everything's skewed. Honestly, the first thing I would do is, get rid of all prisons. I think the first thing, we're never going to get rid of all prisons, not for many generations. So you know, we're going to have to learn to live with them. I think we do have the power to change what they are and what they're for.
As people, I think we've never done prison that correctly. I think we're really off. And it's been a focus of progressivism. Well, I mean, 1700s, Jeremy Bentham, one of his major, platforms, I guess you could say, was the Panopticon. And it was this kind of prison, it meant to improve England's really horrible prison system at the time.
Right.
And I don't think they ever, maybe they did build a panopticon, but it never was really used that much. But the point is, progressivism rightfully looks at the way we punish people and is very dissatisfied by it. And I don't think we've really gotten there yet. I think Norway, as you say, gets closer than we do by a long stretch.
It's not only that we put people in those prisons, it's the people we put in versus the people we don't. The truth of the matter is, if a rich kid commits a theft or a burglary in America...
Well, it was drugs that, you know, raised
or drugs prison. Or whatever.
Yeah.
Something that forces the police to take him to the station. They got to take him to the station based on what happened.
Uh-huh.
A rich kid has his mom show up, and then they talk to the thing, and then he goes home with his mom.
Mm-hmm.
They figure out a fine. They figure out, we're going to do this, take him home, little snot nose, don't worry, da-da-da-da-da. That's the rich kid's experience. It doesn't go on his record. It never happened. The poor kid has a different experience when he commits a burglary.
Right.
It's different.
And they just put him in the pipeline.
And his mom still shows up to the station.
Yeah.
All that happens exactly the same.
Yeah, but... Right. But he's now under control and supervision. And
he's got a big problem.
Yeah.
Especially since he's going to get charged as an adult, mm-hmm. because he's 16. They're going to charge him as an adult for that crime.
Right.
Yeah. They have the ability to do that.
And you know, if the private prison's involved, and there's a judge who can benefit by sending more prisoners to that private prison.
So there's financial incentive for it to play out that way.
Yeah, sometimes it's actual bribe, kickback on the number of people that you send them.
And sometimes there's a bribe and a kickback and it's all perfectly legal. It's measured and there's paperwork and accounting involved. And the IRS is involved.
Yeah, that's how you win your next election as a judge, by how many people you put away.
So I'm just saying, you get tried as an adult and you do 6 years on a burglary at age 16, 15, you got a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, you're coming out as a felon.
Yeah.
You're finished. It's over for you.
And you learned a lot of crime.
So when that individual then ends up back in prison for some other crime, or how do we all look at each other as a society and go, well, you know, criminal's gonna criminal. Right?
Right.
It seems like it's set up to fail, and it seems like we're more than happy to play along.
Well, I watched the prison population grow in this country, and it was, you know, it was really driven by marijuana. Millions of people. Is that something like 10 million people have been arrested for marijuana? And we've got a prison population that's right around 2 million at any given time. Something like 25% of the population is being taken care of by the justice system, and which is much higher than nearly every other country in the world, no matter how authoritarian. But it was in the 80s that we passed Russia and South Africa, because the Soviet Union fell and apartheid fell in South Africa. That left us number one in prison population. So,
I mean, and drugs are a victim. I'm sorry. It's a victimless crime. I'm sorry. It's victimless.
Absolutely.
Nobody's forced to.
Well,
that's
what I went to prison for, drugs. And I felt like, hey, it's my body.
Nobody's forces anybody to use drugs. Okay.
Some people think that's the pusher.
The pusher, or the idea that just the availability of crack means that everyone's going to smoke crack, and there's, oh my God, the scourge of these right. drug dealers are destroying us. People are voluntarily buying the crack.
Right.
If you're in prison on a drug charge, even like a mass sale type drug charge, they should all be released, in my opinion. That's all victimless crime.
Right. I mean, if you're in it to just get high, well, that's one thing. If you're in it to make a lot of money, well, all right, you hit them in the pocketbook. That's what they're doing.
Take all the money from the... Look, hey, you're not allowed to have an illegal drug business. We're taking all your shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
But don't put... there's no point in putting... Jesus Christ. Why the hell do we
have... Prison is a last resort.
Why the hell does a society have to pay for that?
Right.
Like, why are we using that money for that? It seems like there's a lot of stuff to do with the money that we need done. Right? That we don't have any money to do. Well, what about that money?
Yeah, right.
It doesn't work anyway. Our own statistics tell us it doesn't work.
That's exactly right.
So why are we flushing those toilets like that?
Yeah. Why do we keep...
Look, the only way we're ever going to change America is if you figure out a way to do it without touching the military's money. So that's any part of any plan to fix it.
Well,
you can't touch any of that money.
You bring up a really good point.
That's their money.
You bring up a really good point. You've got to give the right something.
They can have the military money. And the hallmark of a Republican politician is he speaks to older Americans about security, and we got to increase the military, and that can be their niche, and I got no problem with it.
So a lot of them are attacking, a lot of people on the right are attacking wokeness. You've got to, recognize that, they don't want to use the pronouns. They don't want... Let them. You've got to tolerate a certain amount of intolerance in order to get along with them.
Well, freedom, right? Freedom is also the freedom to be a retard and not do it the right way.
Right.
We have to have, it has to be built into the system.
However, social justice is a real thing, and you should fight for that.
Well, some things are inflexible. Human rights, civil rights, those are all, gender rights, those are all inflexible. Human related rights are inflexible.
Technically, yes.
I'm saying that should be the default thing.
The default is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Says it in the thing.
Yeah,
life, right? Liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
That line, though, that's a little squishy, that line.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness?
I mean, it should be pretty absolute, you'd think.
Right.
Because I was born, I got a right to my life, and I've got a right to move around and make that life happy.
You have a right to the pursuit of happiness, but not to the point where it infringes on someone else's
right to liberty. Swing your fist ends where my nose begins.
I think it's pretty self-explanatory. I am allowed to have any happiness I want so long as I'm not taking something from somebody else to get it.
That is absolutely the theory of the Declaration.
So what does the gay couple that are married take from me? Nothing.
So you can't really tolerate that.
I am allowed to be as happy as I want and pursue my happiness so long as I don't infringe on anyone else's life, liberty, or...
So you've set up a business where you're selling...
It doesn't say happiness.
You're selling bakery goods, and a gay couple wants to come in and buy a cake for their wedding.
It doesn't guarantee you... Okay, you're right, it is sticky, because here's how it works. It guarantees you life, liberty.
Mm-hmm.
It's not happiness. Right? It's the pursuit of happiness.
That's exactly.
Right.
Which was Jefferson's felicitous phrase, changing Locke's property into the pursuit of happiness. Locke was life, liberty, and property.
But if you want your happiness, and unfortunately it infringes on someone else's liberty, then you're going to have to stop short of happiness on that one. You're going to have to just have the pursuit of happiness for that one. That's the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah, sure.
That's why that's so important.
Yeah, it's the attempt.
So I'm sorry, you're going to have to sell that cake.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
You're denying someone's liberty by your pursuit, by you wanting to be happy with the situation. So that that doesn't fall under life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Well, that's what you and I say, but...
It's written in the thing.
Yeah,
but... There's certain inalienable rights, right?
So that cake company were Christians, and they believed that gay marriage was morally wrong, and that if they sell that cake to them, they're supporting an immorality.
They can believe whatever they want, okay?
Yeah.
But the Constitution protects life and liberty.
Right.
And you can't deny someone else's their liberty.
And if you've set yourself up in a business with the public...
You can't discriminate.
You can't discriminate.
You just can't discriminate, because to discriminate would be to deny the liberty of another individual. You're not allowed to do that.
And the issue is really plain when you can't set up a cake company and not sell a cake to a black couple,
It's discrimination. It's against the law. It's against the Constitution. That's denying liberty. This is not confusing.
They have the same rights as you, and that means they can go into a cake shop and buy a cake too.
And you may not be happy about having to sell that cake. And that's, again, the refer to your constitution. Your handy constitution says the pursuit of happiness, not happiness.
Yeah, yeah. You're not going to be happy about selling that cake, but you can't infringe on their right to buy one in a public place.
So in that moment, you have the pursuit of happiness. You would be happy if you didn't have to sell it, and you can't do that. So now it's just the pursuit.
So
it's very tidy.
Sounds pretty simple. Why isn't it? It isn't.
It isn't. We need better, lawyers?
Judges on the Supreme Court.
Or more of them.
15.
You got to build a quorum. You have to build a quorum.
I like that. I like that. Yeah, absolutely. I think there's justice is more likely if you spread... increase the number.
Social media has us convinced with our decisions that there is a quorum for them, and it's all the people that theoretically would agree with us or think we're cool with what we're saying. Ooh, imagine my popularity by saying this thing or feeling this way or doing this thing. Ooh, look at these likes. And if I don't get the likes, it's just the algorithm.
Yeah, right.
Right. If enough people saw it, I would get the likes. I'm being denied by the algorithm.
Tech companies.
I'm telling you, I'm saying a real quorum, not an imagined quorum.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bill for adding 4 right now before, it's obviously not going to go anywhere, but it's in House of Representatives, a bill
for
adding.
So that goes to 13?
That would take it to 13.
Which matches the 13 circuits.
Which would be fine.
Okay, well, that's an improvement.
I would like 15 better.
15's better. We should go for 15 because I think it's going to stay 13 for the next 200 years is what I think.
Oh, so, if we ever get there.
If we get to 13, they'll keep it that way for 100 years, for sure.
Like they did 9.
Yeah.
Yeah. And 9 was, it's actually gone up and down, but it's generally gone up. And, it started with 6, which were, you're right, there's 6 circuit.
Okay, but how about this? What if they do go to 13?
Okay.
Okay.
Because that's the bill.
That's the bill. And let's say it goes to midterms. Midterms happen. Democrats retain enough seats to make it a reality, and they do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Then 2024 comes along, and like an ultra Tea Party, Trump wins. They steal both houses.
Uh-huh.
And now you have all the justices that are old starting to retire.
Right. And we got rid of the filibuster, so now it's just a simple 50 in the Senate.
Instead of having a 6-3 advantage, now they have a 10-3 advantage. They stack the court even more.
Well, no, we stacked it with 4. Biden gets 4, so that gets us to 7-6.
But between midterms and everything that's happening, there's no way they get 4 appointed.
Right. Well, why not?
Let's say, because it's too close, too much. The Republicans are able to stall out. Something happens.
All right.
It just doesn't happen. Sure. They're able to get 1 through.
Game the system. And
so then you're at 6-4. Then Trump sweeps in, and they get both houses. So they decide not only to get the 3, but they decide to add more justices. Okay, we'll add 5 more. And now they're up like 16-6 or some nonsense.
I know.
Then what happens then? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, then what do we do? It's over, right? For the country.
So, yeah.
This is a dangerous little shell game we're playing here.
It's like that snake and salamander, poisonous snake and salamander. There's an evolutionary arms race between these two particular creatures. And the snake eats, by poisoning the salamander, the snake eats incapacitates the salamander, and then it can eat it. However, evolution improves the salamander's ability to withstand the poison, and so now the snake has to get more poisonous. So we get this super poisonous snake because his food is getting more resistant to the poison. It's kind of the same thing. This arms race between the right and the left. Let's add more justices. Well, see, the fail-safe there, and it's not a fail-safe, but It's an indication. You can reduce the number too. So maybe we won't go to 20 justices. You know, they'll go back to 9 or something like that.
What a mess.
It's a mess. But it's worked pretty well for 230 years.
Well, it's really not working now.
It's really not working now.
Okay, well, then that's another school of thought is, you know, if something's worked for a long time and then it stops working, do you immediately trash it and do something? Do you make radical change immediately, or do you allow more data? Do you let it go on for another 30 years and then, you know what I mean?
Well, that's why I'm afraid of Republicans. They want to completely upend democracy.
I mean, I understand.
They're a minority party. They don't like
democracy.
It sounds
like hyperbole when you say that, but then at the same time, abortion rights are outlawed, gay marriage is on the chopping block, contraception.
And these are minority opinions.
Right.
Yeah.
What a messed up little deal we got here. But you can never get the right king. That's the problem. You might end up with a really great king.
A benevolent prince.
You might end up with a benevolent prince, but usually the benevolent prince gets stabbed in the back by 100 knives. I mean...
Right? Well, there were the 5 good emperors in ancient Rome. Out of all the rest.
Well, how many is all the rest? What are we talking about?
Oh, I don't know. How many emperors of Rome were there? 30? 40?
Well, that's not bad. It's a 1 in 8 shot.
About 1,000 years of well, no, it's only like 400 years of imperial.
Okay, I think you're being too critical, but yeah. I would say every fourth king is good. Would you say?
I would be more critical than that.
Yes. 1 in 5? You're saying 1 in 8's accurate.
I wouldn't try to put a number on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's rare. A good one's rare, you're saying?
I think because special interests being what they are. and of course, rich people have always had the advantage.
I mean, it's kind of what we have here in a way. I mean, in terms of, you know, the way money influences politics.
Oh, there's no question of that.
I guess
it's the American oligarchy.
It's not one king, but it's a little more saturated.
It's a group, yeah.
Right.
Well, okay, so, and really, at the insurrection, at Trump's attempt to retain office, even though he lost the election, it worked. He failed.
Right.
He failed in the attempt. And he tried a whole bunch of stuff, too, if we didn't know before, and many of us did, but we're learning the details in the hearings, and woo.
Right.
I mean, we in one sense, we came pretty close. If Mike Pence had tried to, you know...
if that cop didn't get in the way.
Right?
It all comes down to that one guy.
Well, right?
Yeah, for real. Like, it's a whole different story.
They could have hung him. Pence, I'm talking about.
If that guy wasn't there... They were all in there at that moment.
Yeah.
So they were ready. That wouldn't have went well.
Yeah, because they were in the chamber, the Senate chamber, when they, like, just, you know, a few doors down.
It's about 20 feet.
Yeah, and he led them away.
He led them the opposite direction.
Yeah.
And they were able to clear that room, mostly.
Yeah. And they went in and trashed it, but, you know, but the senators were gone.
Right.
Pence was gone. And so...
I mean, Pence, AOC, the squad, different... I mean, you'd have had some problems in there.
But you had... the attorney general, and it was an attorney general appointed by Trump, said, no, we're not going to do this. This is not going to work. I'm not going to say the election it was fraudulent. I'm not going to say that. There's no evidence for that. So there were some 60 judges, some of them appointed by Trump, who said, this is Looney Tunes. We're not going to do this. You got to come with some proof, and you don't have any. So there were people that were standing in the way of these attempts to overthrow democracy. So it worked. That gives me some hope. There are good people, and you've got to really, as we're learning from some of these clerks too. I mean, there were several people that quit on July 6th when they they could no longer close their eyes to what Trump was trying to do, and they quit. That's the thing I think that gives me hope in the face of these fascist attempt to overthrow the government. And that's exactly what it is.
Just listen to you.
Please listen to me.
No, I am.
Okay.
No, I don't know. You know, I am. I am.
Here.
I'm making a pointing motion to my...
Hasn't this view gotten even more beautiful as we've been sitting here?
It changes, and what we do get at times is pretty incredible sunsets.
Oh,
right now, in particular, the sunsets do right this way. Last night was pretty incredible. Yeah. It's a spot. I mean, this is a spot here. Makes me kind of sad to leave it.
All right?
Yeah.
Not that easy to... to find, if you haven't been here before, I will say that.
Been here, it's difficult. It can be difficult.
I went up one road that 1895.
Oh, you saw the construction there?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, crazy, huh?
I did. Yeah, absolutely.
But we kind of got lucky because there's a couple of trees that are clumped together that block that building from this.
Ah, yeah, that helps. A little baffling by the trees.
Well, I have sound, whatever, but I mean, you can't see it. So, you know, it could be whatever it wants to be, you know.
If you can't see it, it's not there?
Sort of. No, but I think I'm going back to Valley of the Sun.
Really?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean,
Instead of Europe.
I don't know.
I know.
I think I'm too fat to go to Europe.
You could lose some weight.
Yeah, that's true.
And go to Europe.
Well, maybe I'll lose weight and then go to Europe.
Yeah, because you'd be spotted as an American at that point.
Oh, because of my obesity?
Yeah.
Probably.
You're not obese. Get out of here.
Nonetheless.
Yeah.
I'm fatter than the average.
You think?
Frenchman?
No, I don't know. Well, that guy.
Roman?
Oh.
Actually, you know what? I've been around. It's all fat people everywhere. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter. But nonetheless, it's hot. It's getting hotter. It's not a fat guy's world anymore because of the heat.
Yeah.
Global warming. It's
Europe in the heat.
There's no air conditioning. It's not constitutionally protected.
That song, Paris When It Sizzles. Some people love Paris When It Sizzles, but Parisians, not so much.
It's like a red warning in the UK. Oh, it's supposed to be 100 degrees for 3 straight days. And of course, if you live in the southwest US, you hear that and you're like, oh, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
100 degrees, deal with it.
Come back when it's 120.
But it is different when it's 88 is the normal. You know what I mean? And the systems are not set up to deal with 100.
Everybody's got air conditioning and a swimming pool in Phoenix.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure.
And not because they're not luxuries.
Oh, they're not luxuries.
No.
Right.
Believe me, I know.
I've known both sides of it.
Yeah. We used to spend a lot of time out there as the band, and we got to, once we'd played there a few times, we got to know some of the locals. And we got to stay at their houses every once in a while. Very rarely did we not stay at some middle class person's house,
sure,
with a swimming pool
built in swimming pool, like right. a dope pool, like right. It takes up the whole backyard,
yeah,
in most cases,
but it's 115 degrees and you want to really go jump in that pool.
Yeah. And if you can imagine a pool that's uncomfortable because it's too hot, that can happen.
That can happen actually. Yeah.
Oh, it's too hot, the pool's too hot.
Yeah, I'm still sweating though. I'm in the pool.
Yeah. I mean, at night, you go out middle of the night, that's when you're in the pool at midnight.
But they don't have that in England.
No, but they're going to need that in England.
Yeah, right.
They're not set up for it.
Yeah.
Their systems are not.
And now you're going to have to fill up those pools with water.
Our systems here in the Southwest United States are not set up for what's happening climate-wise. Our systems are not designed to deal with 115 degrees for three straight weeks. It's going to destroy those units.
And especially since the water to fill those swimming pools is drying up, the Colorado River is going away.
People in Phoenix, Arizona are being kept alive by air conditioning.
Yeah, sure.
If there was no air conditioning in Phoenix in July, and it was 115 degrees for two straight weeks, tens of thousands of people would die.
It's many of them homeless.
Many homeless people would die.
Yeah.
Many people in homes would die. Older people.
Yeah, right.
Da, 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 da.
Right.
It's not, that would not go well.
Yeah.
So our systems, in a place where we depend on air conditioning for our very survival, we're not set up for what's happening right now.
Yeah.
I'm talking to people in Arizona. Systems are failing. At complexes, houses. It's too many days. It's too long. Yes, the machine can do it, but not for 55 straight hours. It's not set up like, it's not built for that. They're not, those systems are failing. We got problems here. So 100 degrees in the UK is for three straight days is a problem. They're not set up for that.
Yeah.
And when that becomes
a norm,
a couple of weeks every year like that, you got big issues. I mean, I'm saying it's the wrong time to be overweight. Is what I'm saying. I need to.
When's a good time? Famine probably would be the good time to be overweight.
I mean, I guess theoretically you can starve for longer, right?
I think so. I think that's
true. You can be calorically deficient for longer.
Well, right. I mean, the ability to store fat,
right,
I think is about that.
But if it's going to kill you 10 years earlier...
Well, of course, evolution doesn't care about that.
Like, what if there's no famine? What if the famine never comes that you're storing up all the fat for?
If you've already reproduced, the evolution doesn't care.
Okay. All right, mushrooms. Some of us didn't reproduce and are left with our lifespan.
Well, on an individual, that's species-wide. On an individual level, yes, you want to live.
Well,
you
I'm an individual sing, talking you to dance. I'm an individual talking to you about it.
You want to hot cha-cha.
I'm not interested in hot cha-ching. I want to be able to...
You want your life.
I don't want to be sweating all the time so much.
Yeah. Well, and as we know, it's...
Especially if air conditioning is going to be, you know, something that's not a guaranteed thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. My main motivation for keeping my weight down, though, was trying to have sex. Be attractive to the opposite sex.
Hmm.
But it wasn't longevity, per se.
Right.
So.
Well, you know, live and learn, I guess.
And, I'm not really doing that anymore, so.
Yeah, but now you're going to subject yourself to a long life. Congratulations. Tell him what he's won, Johnny.
Oh, door number one,
door number one, or door number two, or trade it all for what's in my front pocket.
Yeah, that is kind of what it comes down to.
Can anybody produce some dignity or two baby teeth? What was that show where people in the audience had to...
All right.
Who's got a Minnesota driver's license?
Yeah.
Would you trade it for all what's in door number three, or would you... Okay, here's the question.
And they're looking at their spouse.
Who was it? Burroughs, William Esper? Who said... You don't know anything until you've taken everything and risked it on a roll of the dice and lost it and then built it back up again and then lost it again.
Ah, who said that?
I have no idea, but here's the question I pose to you.
Sounds like Minnesota Slim or something.
Forget Cosmo, okay?
Okay, not going to happen.
I'm saying no matter what outcome happens, Cosmo stays in stasis. He is part of whatever outcome.
Okay.
As is. You don't lose Cosmo because you rolled the dice again.
Okay.
Cosmo is unchanged.
All right.
Relatively unchanged. And if there's any changes, it's for the better.
But all my material wealth.
Every facet of everything is going to be completely different than it was. Cosmo remains in stasis.
Okay.
Would you take the dice and roll again, knowing everything would be completely 100% different? The way everything would play out, everything.
Knowing myself.
It could be better. It could be worse. Who knows?
Knowing myself.
Right.
And not being a gambling
man. You're not risking Cosmo.
Not being a gambling man, right, though. I probably wouldn't risk it. I don't risk things. I'm pretty much happy with stasis here.
What if you could roll the dice and the only outcomes that could roll would be exactly this way you feel right now about your life, looking back, or better? So you can only do as well as you did or better, and you can roll the dice. Would you roll the dice? You'll probably end up exactly where you're at. Exactly, because there's a spectrum of, it's all infinite possibility.
Faust, I've already seen it. You know, I've already seen that deal with the devil. You know, it never works out.
Right.
Be careful what you wish for, because it's probably going to smack you in the face.
Okay, well, I don't think you should throw all deals with the devil under the bus. You know what I mean? Let's just not. Okay, again, there's a spectrum of human experience.
I don't know. I'm really skeptical.
That feels very religious. Well, I know, but that feels very religious to say that. You know.
Well, we know the metaphor, though.
Metastopheles? What's the guy's name?
Mephistopheles, yes.
Okay, so hand set with the dice set before you. Mm-hmm. Okay, knowing that you can't lose.
Really?
I mean, I'm not saying you're guaranteed to do better. Mm-hmm. I'm saying there it's infinite possibility at every point. So infinite choice at every point.
But it's going to be different.
Or not. I mean, there's an infinite number of roles where it's going to be exactly
the same.
So, I mean, that's infinite is infinite.
Okay.
So there is no advantage to any role. But there's no outcomes that are worse.
I don't know. Somehow I'm thinking the word entropy again. So
I'm not saying you'll win, but you definitely can't lose.
There's got to be a certain amount of dissatisfaction with your life to want to try to do that, though.
I think you can look back, especially as an older gentleman, I think it is possible for me to look back on my life and see a range of things that happen that are both, that could be positive or negative or
right.
who yep. knows.
To be sure.
So however, at any given moment, however I would like to feel about my life, I have the ability to recall memories that help me do that, whether I want to feel good or bad.
Right.
I would roll the dice.
Yeah, right.
For shizzle.
You're a gambler.
I'll roll the dice. I would roll the dice. It has nothing to do with being a gambler.
I guess I've rolled the dice in the past.
It has nothing to do with gambling in my mind. To me, it's more about mathematics. It's math. It's not gambling. And if I throw in all the negative outcomes too, so I have the range of positive outcomes, and I'll even throw in a bunch of negative ones too.
Sure. Okay.
I think I would still throw the dice again. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would throw it again. Even if I feel like I did really well this time, I would be inclined to throw it again.
I don't think I'm going to change things. The good and the bad.
And the ugly. And the ugly.
Yeah. Well.
No, I'm very dissatisfied. I would throw again, for sure. I'll throw again when it comes time to choose.
Okay. All right. Oh, I hear you.
Good morning.
It feels so weird to say that one.
It is.
We're right here.
I know.
We've always said it.
We don't often do it. It's been a long time.
It's been a while.
It's been 2 years. And now we have monkeypox, which we didn't get into.
Fuck monkeypox.
COVID, which seems to be back.
President Biden got it.
He got it.
But mild. He's been double boosted in Paxlovid and all of that. Paxlovid or whatever that.
I got my initial J&J, and that's all I got. Not 2 years ago.
Well, so, I'm double boosted.
Okay, good.
With, it was Moderna, and then it was.
Just mix and match.
Yeah.
And hodgepodge.
Well, it's always been, ever since. Was Moderna the first time? That's it. And then. Thinking of.
What kind of aspirin do you want? Get them all for me. Just grind them up.
Grind them.
What else you got?
Yeah, put them in the mortar and the pistol. Pestle. Is it pistol or pestle? Pestle.
Well, there is a pistil. Pistil. And that's a part reproductive part of a plant, a flower. Pistil and stamen.
We're not talking about that.
Right. There's pistola.
Pistola!
Which is like, well,
pistol away!
Okay, so now you ruined it. I was gonna. I had like a whole thing with that. That's fine.
Okay.
Anthony Bourdain. If you haven't checked out the Anthony Bourdain thing on Mexicans, I would recommend.
It is excellent, and it mirrors my own. The Mexicans I know, beautiful people.
I'm Mexican.
You're Mexican. Beautiful person here, sitting next to me.
Was I just fishing for that? No, but check it out. Check it out. I think...
We both recommend.
I think far too often we don't appreciate each other. You know, we don't appreciate...
You and I?
Well, that. And I'm just saying in general.
In general. That's so true.
We tend to be very suspect against each other, and we tend to look for the worst in each other.
Especially Republicans.
I think social media has designed us now to do that, so I think we have to rebel against that. The time to defeat the AI is long before it starts killing us.
You know? Be nice.
I'm saying we'd still have power over the computers, because...
Don't be so judgmental. Be nice.
They have to communicate through communication. We can do it non-verbally, and we can do it that way, too. They can't do that. We have an advantage over the AI. Right now is the last advantage we have.
It's time right? to make a stand.
It's the final stand. It's the final stand. Okay.
Otherwise, it's Skynet.
Thank you. You've been listening to All You Fascists. Thank you, James.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you to the listeners. Thank you to Spotify. And also, what was the box company?
Big Box. Or no, it's a Container. The Container Store.
Container Store. Have a wonderful day. Ciao.
Ciao. What you want to pay? How we pick a roll, something to hide the core, and we spend the afternoon